Welcome to the 20% True Podcast, Season 1, Modern Monsters, Episode 8, The Seal Woman. I'm Carolyn Rahman. As a content warning for this week, this episode deals with a toxic romantic relationship. If you need to skip over it, that's fine. We'll be back again next week with something more lighthearted. Fiona had set out with a paperback novel from the library, her card for riding the train provided by Liam, a $10 bill from Liam, and a check for her therapist, also from Liam. Now one check lighter, she waited in line at the nearest coffee shop, where she would have some quiet time for herself to think. Which didn't make much sense because all she ever had was quiet time to herself to think. The difference was in the setting. Welcoming reclaimed wood, the smell of rich ground coffee beans and burnt steamed milk, the murmur of light conversation and music so smooth and soft it slipped over her without calling her to dance. The difference was that this wasn't the apartment, so she was getting out. The difference was that this was self-care, to reward herself, which was code for how it was supposed to make up for the terribleness of therapy. Really, she just wasn't to come home until she was less maudlin, and therapy always left her raw and confused and even more blue than usual. After the first few sessions, Liam had gone on rants about how the therapy wasn't working and she was only getting worse. But her therapist, Kathy, had assured them both that Fiona was grappling with deep issues, and it was likely she would get worse before she got better. That was normal. That was fine. So, coffee. Coffee and thinking about today's painful question. Fiona, would you stay with him if you weren't forced to? Kathy had a knack for aiming her questions like spears, straight through her heart to the place they would hurt the most, where they'd latch deep like a barbed fishhook and pull, 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 irritating and itchy and never easing. If she could leave, would she leave? She loved Liam. She loved him to the depths of the briny sea and with the power of 1,000,000 waves. She drowned in her all-consuming love for him. He was handsome, with his dark, windswept hair and broad shoulders. He was kind, always asking what he could do for her and bringing her gifts and treats. He wrapped her in his arms every night and took the deepest breath he could, smelling her hair like a sigh. He loved her with everything he had, and they would stay together forever. Because she couldn't leave. But if she could leave, would she love him enough to stay? Would she bolt at the first opportunity, run to the bay, stripping her clothes as she dashed across the streets and sidewalks and beach, her pelt gripped fast in one fist, flying behind her like a flag? Her natural form would embrace her like the sun on a warm sand beach, her body gliding, flying through the waves, joyous and playful and free. Her heart sang with a thought. What can I get started for you? Yes, coffee. She passed the $10 bill to the barista, ducking her head to lower her eyes in deference. A large coffee, please. He slipped the bill from her fingers, pressed a few buttons on his computer. Then when she didn't move, took her hand to turn it upright and dropped a few smaller bills and some coins into her palm. She jerked her hand away, retreating to the pickup counter. She dropped her change into her pocket and wrapped her arms tight around each other. Large coffee? She stepped forward for a drink to find the barista had set a paper bag on top of her paper cup. She glanced up at him for an explanation. He was tall, thin. His hair buzzed to just above his scalp. Blueberry muffin, he explained, on the house. She blinked at him. Why? Because you're the saddest person to come in here today, he said. She snatched up coffee and muffin, ducking her head to hide the flaming of her cheeks. She hid at the corner table, away from the sunlit windows and their view of the bay. What do you think about the fact that Liam took your pelt knowing it would keep you on land and make you submissive to him? Kathy asked the next week. Does it make you angry at him? She established, while waiting in line for her coffee, that of course she wasn't mad at Liam. He was a wonderful man. No, she was mad at Kathy, who was almost purposefully missing the point. Because even if Fiona was angry at Liam, there was nothing she could do about it. So what was the point in working herself up? Did Kathy want her to live at home in a state of perpetual loathing and disgust? And she couldn't be mad at Liam. She loved Liam. Liam was great. He was handsome. He was kind. Kind! Not vindictive and not a thief. He hadn't meant to hurt her. But now she was wondering, why had Liam taken her pelt, her precious, precious pelt, a part of her body, the embodiment of her soul? He took it. But of course he did, because that's what men do, and having their pelts taken was what Selkies did, and questioning the ways of the world was absurd. But that's what Kathy had her doing now. That's the splinter she'd shoved into her palm for her to worry at until her skin was inflamed. But why had he taken it? Because he loved her. Because he knew he'd never get her attention otherwise. Because this way they could be together without her giving in to her true nature, running for the sea and abandoning him.
Wow.
The tall barista looked at her with concern.
That blueberry muffin did not work. You want to try banana nut?
And it struck her that Liam had had the option of not taking her pelt. He could have left it there and said hello. He could have picked it up and handed it back to her. He could have hung it neatly in the coat closet and let her take it whenever she wanted, the way she took her jacket from its hanger when she went for a walk, or went to stand on the beach, or went to therapy. Then she'd be able to answer last week's question, would you leave if you could? It struck her that he could have trusted her. But if he trusted her not to leave, she would leave. And maybe that just answered last week's terrible question anyway. It struck her that she would have the capability to make this decision, if only he hadn't taken her pelt. The way men were meant to take pelts. And could she be mad about that?
Hello? You okay?
I'm not interested, she said, the words tripping off her tongue.
Well, we've got croissants, if that's more your thing.
No, you're flirting with me and I'm not interested. I already have a man. He stared at her. She dropped her eyes. On his black apron, he had a sticker of a golden retriever puppy with sad black eyes. The sticker curled at the bottom to show a mat of fuzz beneath. Its eyes looked just like a seal's.
Okay?
She gave a stiff nod and handed over a $10 bill. A large coffee, please.
Coming right up.
Her coffee came a few minutes later, a banana nut muffin and a paper bag balanced on top of her cup. And now she was angry at the barista. The anger made the coffee churn in her belly. The barista wasn't working the next week, which was for the best, because he would have buried her under a mountain of muffins had he seen her despair. She didn't bother to open her novel, instead laying her head down on the table, her crossed arms making a cave for her face.
I'm telling you, a cranberry muffin. It's gotta do the trick.
She raised her head to see the tall barista slide a saucer onto her table, a cranberry muffin sitting in the center. It looked far too happy, like it was preening. She sunk into her hunched shoulders. I thought you weren't working today.
I'm on break. Can I sit down?
She frowned at him. He waited. It would be easiest not to argue, to let him have his say and then pick a different coffee shop next week. Fine. He pulled out the chair across from her, leaning forward and threading his fingers together on the table.
The next thing I'm going to say would be the worst line in the history of lines, so you can rest assured that it's not a line, okay?
Okay.
You look like someone killed your puppy.
Thank you, she said.
Do you want to talk about it?
She sighed and dropped her head back to the table. She wrapped one hand protectively around her coffee, letting the warmth seep into the bones of her very human fingers. Talking doesn't help. My therapist thinks I'm delusional. You'll think I'm delusional, too. His face warmed, understanding rather than pitying.
I'm sorry, that sucks.
Yes. You know, most people would say that Selkies aren't real, Kathy said. They say this is a coping mechanism to explain why you stay in an abusive relationship.
What would you say to that? So you come here every week after therapy. That makes sense. What makes sense? She asked. You always look like you've been run over by a truck. That's how therapy works. It leaves you all bruised and exposed until you can work through all the crap that they've uprooted. It's hard. Well, if you're doing it right, it's hard. I guess some people just go and talk about themselves for an hour, do no soul searching, and waste everyone's time without holding up a mirror and seeing all the gross parts they've never noticed about themselves or their lives. She lifted her head, curious. How do you know that? Liam had reassured her so many times that it was fine to see a therapist that she had started to suspect there was something not fine about it. He told one of his friends the other night that she went to book club on Tuesday mornings, and that lie made her even more convinced that this was something that should make her ashamed. The barista pointed at himself. I'm a former depressed teenager. So are you delusional? No, I'm a Selkie. His eyebrows pinched. A what? A seal woman. His eyebrows pinched even deeper. You're a seal? She rolled her eyes in an act more disparaging than anything she'd done since splashing her sisters. Not at the moment, obviously. Okay, right. So, yeah, your therapist thinks you're not a Selkie. He tasted the word, rolling it through chapped lips. Yeah, I need to talk to someone who believes me. Someone who can help me and not try to fix me by making me believe I'm human. I thought we were doing all right, but now... Now it's time for a new therapist? I'm not sure Liam will let me try another one. That's your man? She nodded. He sat back and scratched his jaw. His beard was the same length and texture as the hair on his head. Okay, so how are your problems different if you're human? I mean, in terms of things you can do to make your life better. If your therapist gives you advice as if you're human, what will she tell you? To leave my man. She thinks he's abusive and controlling, but he's not. Kinda is if he decides what therapist you see. She glared at him and enunciated each word. He's handsome and kind, and I'm a Selkie. That's how things are for us. When a man takes one of our pelts, it doesn't matter. I just can't leave without my pelt. There's nothing I can do. There's nothing I can do, and I'm sad all the time, even though I shouldn't be because he's amazing. I just feel so helpless. Hopeless. He nodded slowly, almost like he was considering her words. Okay, so if the goal is to leave him, which it's not, he conceded. Seems the thing to do would be to get your pelt back. Then you could leave if you wanted and stay if you wanted, and your relationship would probably be better off if you're on equal footing, and your therapist's advice will work for you again. Oh, just find my pelt, is that all? He shrugged. You want it. Make it happen. You got anything better to do? She stared at him, and slowly the truth came to her, washing over her in a salty wave that filled her nose and scraped seaweed from her hair. No, I don't. He smiled and stood, knocking on the table twice with square knuckles. Let me know how it goes. He retreated to the counter, and Fiona stared at the wall for a half hour before taking the napkin from under her muffin and starting a list. Places Liam might have hidden her pelt. A bank vault. A storage unit. A friend's safe. Places she would check. She would break in. She would search. She would find it. Without looking up, she pinched a bite from her muffin. Cranberries and butter burst on her tongue. True Podcast was written and produced by me, Carolyn Rahman. If you liked the show, please consider rating or subscribing on iTunes. It helps new people find the show. If you'd like to chat about this episode, ask questions, or air grievances, visit the brand new Facebook page, facebook.com/20percenttrue. Or visit the website, 20percenttrue.blogspot.com for updates, thoughts on writing, and book reviews. Or follow me on Twitter @CarrieAndTheHits. Thank you.